Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Catherine Hayden. Catherine, it's really good to have you on. I'm so happy you're here. Can you please tell us, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Planet Bake?
Yeah, I'm calling in from New York City, and my company is called Planet Bake. I make nutrition-rich donut that is plant-based, sugar-free, gluten-free, soy-free, and kosher. And it's basically designed to help regulate blood sugar levels. It has all the good nutrition inside, antioxidant, fibers, plant protein, almonds, and basically is for everybody who wants to cut sugar from their diets and have an indulgent little treat at the end of the day.
It's amazing. I love that. And can you tell me a little bit about your background leading up to, you know, creating this brand and this product? Now, what did you kind of find out there in the market, you know, was a problem that couldn't currently exist that you were looking to solve with this product?
Yeah, of course. So my background is in the fashion industry. I've been in the fashion for over 15 years. And then basically when fashion took a little bit of a dip in New York City, I basically went back to business school and, you know, was very looking into sustainability and how you can transform a business and make it, you know, have a real purpose. So that was my mission, to create something that has a real purpose. After coming from fashion, you know, it's a lot of fashion items, waste product, and so on. And so I went back to school, took my time there to explore, I would say. And then for some reason, I ended up looking into people. And for example, I discovered a lot of independent pastry chefs in New York City. They're really working on a very tiny operations, right? They're working out of their home, out of a commercial kitchen, depending. Not many people see them, and they had real talent. When I did my final project, basically, in business school, I developed a marketplace that can actually showcase these desserts from these independent pastry chefs and basically combine them onto a platform to make it then available for people to purchase. And at that time, it was very early 2020, January, February, and I was basically going out and doing legwork and approaching museums in order for them to have a theme or whatever they were showcasing and adding those pastry into it. So when we first had our first final event, which was, you know, big for us in that category, basically Blasio shut down the city because of COVID. So that happened exactly the same night. We were glad that even some people came out, you know, but at the end of the day, basically I had to pivot. And because of all the situation with the pandemic and COVID, I feel like people really realized that they needed to change their eating behaviors and their lifestyle and make bigger steps towards it in regards to diabetes, heart attack, strokes. And this is actually why I created Planet Bake. Is number one, a lot of the brands or the current product on the market are just not serving that specific need yet. They're focusing really on something delicious. Maybe it's honey, maybe it's agave, maybe it's dates, maybe, you know, there are so many different aspects, coconut oils that really need to be eliminated for people to be fully healthy. And, you know, it's a challenge. Like for example, if you try one of our products and you do some blood sugar testing before and after, you will see there's no spike in our product. So it's really catered to people who want to really eliminate all these, I would say, health issues almost, and really eat super clean and be very aware of themselves and how they eat and how they feel and the energy they have throughout the day. So I always say our product is made for anybody who wants to eliminate sugar, but also you don't have this sugar crash during the day that you get from eating like fried food, sugary food, fried donuts, or any other sugary desserts.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I love that story. And so you started with the marketplace and then you kind of came into this post-COVID, just kind of learning about, you know, people looking like getting wising up to their kind of dietary restrictions and learning more about that themselves. And when did you actually pivot to this exact product? When was the actual launch for this product initially?
So basically we created a baking mix at first, and the baking mix was launched on veganessentials.com in August of 2020. And Vegan Essentials, actually the person, the buyer came back to me and said, hey, we actually would love to sell the finished product on our website. Can you make it a ready-to-eat donut? So I took that time between August and September 2020 to develop the product in sort of what it is today. And then we launched, basically did a test campaign in New York City. It's around Thanksgiving. And I got so much great response and orders and all of that. So then I basically decided to launch the final product, the company as it is today, Planet Bake, in January of 2021.
Awesome. No, I love that. That's amazing. And yeah, so when you kind of started this brand, obviously it came from, you were selling the mix online. So was your kind of go-to-market strategy with this brand also to like to keep it online, and also kind of walk me up to today as well? Are you still selling mostly online? Are you doing any retail or wholesale business as well? What's the kind of breakdown there?
Yeah, so we're currently doing 70% B2B, meaning grocery stores, juice shops, some of the coffee shops, food service. And then we're doing about 30% e-commerce online, meaning on our platform, our own website, and on Amazon.
Awesome. And then what do you kind of find as far as like, obviously, you know, the ideal customer profile for you and making this product for what it is makes perfect sense. Has anything kind of surprised you from what you could tell selling direct to consumer, which obviously, you know, you have a little bit more data, a little bit more customer interaction. Has anything kind of surprised you with like a certain demographic groups that have been, you know, like big buyers for you and recurring customers?
So our very early adopters and customers, they were both either vegan and soy-free or vegan and gluten-free. So we really, at the very beginning, we were targeting or speaking to those customers because they were the ones like going online on Google or whatnot and trying to find a better treat, right? That serves their dietary restrictions. And then what we found over the last couple of months, basically, you know, then we moved forward with testing in regards to sugar-free. And then we saw also, you know, there's a giant market. And I think it's mostly because COVID was pushing it a lot, that people overall wanted to reduce sugar intake. And so we kind of developed that kind of extra niche for itself. So we have the very first two early adopters, then we moved into sugar-free or anybody who wants to cut. And then from there, now we're basically slowly moving over to even, you know, talking to people that have pre-diabetes or diabetes or type 1 and type 2, and really speaking to them and really talking about the benefits or asking them, hey, we would love to send you some product. Do the testing, see what you can find yourself, and, you know, just report back to us. And then really have the open conversation about how it is helping them and how it can help their lifestyle and make some changes. One ingredient that we actually use is allulose, which is a natural sweetener and has zero impact on the glycemic index. And I feel like this is one of the most important aspects of our product. So it's semi-sweet, but you're still getting that sweetness from it, but without having the spike at all. And allulose shows really great research. Even if consumed with other sugar, it does not spike the curve as insane as it would by eating it without the allulose.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I've actually never heard of allulose, so glad you brought that up. And where did that come from? I mean, how did you get involved with this ingredient? Because I mean, it's nothing that I've ever heard of. I mean, I read all my labels. I've never seen it on a label before. So how did you come in touch with this allulose, and what are some of the other benefits that it offers as opposed to maybe like an agave or maybe some other kind of sweetener, or obviously, you know, artificial sweeters are something we should all avoid, and things with too much sugar. But yeah, tell me a little bit more about this ingredient, allulose. I'm interested in that.
Yeah, so basically allulose has been around for decades. It's naturally found in chick fruit, figs, and raisins. But obviously, when you're looking at a commercial production, which now a ton of companies are doing and using it now. So the reason why so many more brands are using it is the FDA regulated it differently in 2020, which is right the same time when I explored it. So before 2020, the allulose sweetener was only listed in the carbs, and it wasn't called out under the sugars. So basically, anybody looking at the carbs just see a high number. They don't know where it's coming from. Maybe it's listed in the ingredient label list only, and consumer, they don't know what to do with it, right? So the FDA said, okay, 2020, I think it was March or April or whatnot, or February, they said, you have to list it under the sugars and you have to call it out for what it is. And meaning now the consumer can go back and say, hey, now it's allulose. I know I need to subtract that from the carbs, and it's minus the fibers, and it's actually giving my net carbs, right? So, you know, with this regulation, I think a lot of things moved around. It was more transparent. I think the transparency there is the most important part, and really understanding it. Like, you know, like you have to list out sugar alcohols on the label. Now you can do the same thing and call it actually allulose.
Yeah, it's fascinating. That's something that I don't think is really talked about enough, is like things you find in your label as far as like the macros that go into, you know, what's in the label, like where those are coming from have a massive difference depending on where those like certain macros are being sourced from. I don't think that's something that is like really talked about enough or understood enough by people who are trying to eat healthier. So I appreciate you bringing that up, because I think it's a really important perspective for anybody who is interested in maybe, you know, blowing the sugar intake or, you know, watching the carbs or watching their sugar. I think it's a really interesting perspective to, you know, take a look and like really dive deeper to try to understand like, you know, where these macros on these labels are actually like what the sourcing of them actually are, because they can affect you in different ways naturally. So I appreciate your insights on that. It's very interesting. And I guess I'm curious too, on your D2C business, I know it sounds like you're doing some some like really like affirmative outreach to in the beginning, like the, you know, maybe people had like celiac or just maybe people were like trying to watch their gluten intake or their soy intake or whether or not they had the allergy, and now like, doing some direct outreach, maybe pre-diabetic or diabetic folks. Where do you kind of find the most of the traffic that comes to the website as far as like, you know, if somebody's a new customer, they find you online, where is most of the drive to the website coming from, your online channels?
So we are doing some ads on Meta, but a lot of it is also coming organically. So I go out myself a lot to events and anything event or food related, or we just had a vegan plant-based event at the Shopify office in New York City. There's a lot going on in the space, or I'm always invited to Equinox to do some sampling and yoga classes and whatnot. I feel like events are very helpful, or networking in general. I'm really getting the word out. And then obviously it's great to have great customer on your side that actually talk about it either online or to their friends, to their family, and really getting the word out naturally. I think that's a big part, especially for small brands that don't have these giant advertising budgets. And I'm all about organic growth. You know, if you move the needle too fast, too soon, it might backfire.
It's so true. And believe me, having so many interviews and conversations with people in the CPG spaces, then I always try to ask this question on the podcast, which is, if you could go back to the beginning of your brand, like, you know, give yourself a piece of advice, what would that be? And that's like probably half of the answers I get are exactly what you just said. So it's very interesting. And like, I appreciate you reiterating that, because I think it's really, really important for anybody that might be listening, maybe looking to get into CPG or is very new, maybe in their own CPG venture already. It is. It's very important. You can spread yourself too thin, too fast, you know, trying to do, you know, nationwide shipping or getting into retailers everywhere first, or, you know, doing things like that. I think it is really important to start local, do the testing like you're doing. I can tell you're obviously very diligent on that side of things, which is, I think it's extremely important for success. So I appreciate you illuminating that. And yeah, so as you've been growing, and like, what kind of like feedback have you been getting from people in each one of these individual communities? Has anything kind of surprised you as far as like the feedback that you've gotten from, you know, the different, you know, communities that are obviously, you know, searching for this type of product?
When you're looking at the plant-based space, right? I mean, there's still so much going on and there's so much more room for improvement, I feel like, even with our product. So like, I'm, you know, at the beginning when it came out, it was great, amazing, you know, there's nothing else like it. And now you're seeing more and more brands move into the space or using allulose. Like, I was one of the first brands really using it. And then all of a sudden, you know, I see Magic Spoon popping up. I see Chobani using it now in their yogurts. Like, there's so much happening. I mean, I love to follow it from the start and how people implement and use it, which also helps me at the end of the day, educating the consumer. But, you know, it's just interesting. And that basically what that also tells me is I need to keep up with my innovation and making the product even better or adding new product lines that could be even more. Because for me, eventually, it's really important to be at the forefront of the dessert industry and the movement, I would say. I mean, overall, it's very challenging to keep it all under one roof, meaning gluten-free, plant-based, sugar-free, soy-free, right? There's very, very little space I can operate in. But what I found is that with new food technology, I think we will be able to accomplish that and work towards the best we can do without affecting our health or using like additives, preservatives, any of that. I always call it evil ingredients.
That's awesome. Yeah, I completely love that. And I am curious to hear your answer to that question I mentioned earlier as well. I know it's been since, I believe you mentioned, you know, 2020, right about, was your initial, or 2021, right about the launch for this product specifically. Knowing everything you know now, obviously, I mean, even 3 years in business, you obviously learn a lot. Some things the hard way, some things you just learn along the way. But you know, if you could go back and give yourself a piece of advice, if you were to start this brand again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
That's a hard one. I mean, I think the product is still great for what it is. And probably a piece of advice is sometimes I am trying to perfect it too much. Sometimes you just maybe got to go with it and just try to do testing earlier. Maybe it would have been something a little bit different than what it is today. I don't know. But sometimes, yeah, I think overall, don't overthink it. Sometimes it's better to put stuff out there and not perfect too much and spend too much time evaluating every little detail.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. And it's another kind of common answer that I get to this question, which is like, it's that old like adage, which is basically, if you're not embarrassed by the first product you brought to market, you did it too late. That's another definitely common answer to that. But it's good advice. I think a lot of entrepreneurs can be perfectionists, which is a part of the reason what makes entrepreneurs successful in many cases is like, you know, being very diligent and wanting things to be perfect. But you do need to definitely temper that and have some nuance with, you know, sometimes you do need to just get things out there, take the good with the bad as far as the feedback goes, just to get something out there so you can continue that work and not just be, you know, guessing dressing at perfection, essentially. So I definitely appreciate that answer and that insight. Yeah, I just want to give you, Catherine, just a quick opportunity as well, just to plug your website, your social media pages, any way for anybody to get in touch with you, maybe for potentially a business partnership or just want to check out the product. Let everybody know how to stay in touch with you guys.
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Catherine Hinnan. Our website is planet-bake.com. Any way is possible. Instagram is at planetbake.us. Yeah, feel free to connect with us. And we're always open to talking to anybody around the food space and nutrition and plant-based.
Awesome. Well, Catherine, I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I love what you're doing. I just want to wish you the best of luck, continued success in everything that you're doing. And yeah, I look forward to staying in touch. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Catherine. Thanks, everybody. Bye.